Well, Michael had the privilege of going to Kansas City Vineyard this weekend and sharing with some folks down there and doing some training and equipping. And so that leaves me in the saddle, and I'm excited to talk to you on Father's Day. I wanted to just say that I had, growing up and still do, just an outstanding relationship with my dad. My dad is somebody that I adored. He loved the Lord, and I kind of grew up saying I want to be just like my daddy, and he was the kind of person that would walk in a room and just light up the room, love everyone, make us laugh, and he just was an incredible dad. And so I have a couple pictures I'm going to show you. This is my dad holding me when I'm about 1 year old, and I have this up on my, right on my desk. I have this picture. And the reason is because it just resembles, or it's a symbol to me of even the father heart of God and God's heart for me, and how I can just climb up on his lap and he'll hold me like that. And this is me. I'm the baby, and that's my sister, who's a couple years older than me, again, in our father's arms. And that's another one of my favorite pictures. This is my family. I'm the cute little girl in the front. And this is me when I was about 4. I cut my own hair. Check out the bangs. Oh, my mom says I got in the closet with some scissors, and I was cutting my sister's hair and my hair. And then she wanted to, you know, she made me dress up and memorialize it. I think in the church directory, this is what I got that from. But I better, okay, Michael asked me to preach, and then I start showing home movies. I'm going to get in trouble, so. But I love just Father's Day, and I want to talk to you about just the relationship with the Father, and specifically about the relationship between God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and what that means for us today. And when we look at their relationship, we can see how God wants to relate to us as sons and daughters. An amazing thing about Jesus is that Jesus had no agenda at all, no agenda of his own. And the Bible's pretty clear about Jesus' ministry here on earth, and he followed God with an explicit obedience. And he never tried to gain political power, which he could have. He had crowds following. He never tried to impress the masses of people with lots of popularity. In fact, you could even say that he was, in spite of all of that, and the miracles and the power of God on him, that Jesus was the most humble and unassuming man to walk the earth. And the number one agenda in Jesus' life was this. It was discovering what God the Father was already doing and joining in with him. And, you know, in the book of John, we find Jesus ministering. What he did is not very pleasing to some of the Jewish leaders of the day. Jesus had just healed this lame man who was laying by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath, which you weren't supposed to do anything on the Sabbath except just go to the synagogue. And so the Jewish leaders were all over his case. And I'm going to read this passage and look at what happens in John 5:16 through 20. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." So the Jewish leaders tried all the harder to find a way to kill him. For he not only broke the Sabbath, but he called God his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. And then you will be truly astonished." In other words, you ain't seen nothing yet. And Jesus, being the Son of God, you know, he probably could have come and did anything he wanted, being the Son of God. But he didn't. He laid aside his divine prerogative when he came to earth. And he chose to operate totally dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, he's able to understand, he could see, he could hear, and he knew exactly what the Father was doing. And you know, I don't know if you know it or not, but the Holy Spirit's the one that makes it possible for us to relate to God. In Romans 8:15, it says, "So you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into this family, calling him Father, dear Father, for the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts, and he tells us that we are God's children." You know, some of us don't really feel all the benefits of being God's children because we've never experienced the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we haven't felt or heard him speak deep down in our hearts and telling us that we are, in fact, God's children. And so, you know, I can tell you that. You could read it in the Bible. But if you never have an experience of the Holy Spirit coming and doing something deep in your heart, receiving him, it's sort of like an illumination or a magnifying glass on the truth, and it makes it come alive. He makes it come alive in our life. So a lot of us walk around, and we don't feel like part of the family. We don't feel adopted into God's family. And you know, the thing that is probably the most sad about that is that it's just not God's heart for us. It's not God's heart for us to feel like we don't belong or like he's not our father. The Holy Spirit also is the one who enables us to hear God's voice. And in 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read this because it speaks of how God does give us insight and how he comes to us through the Holy Spirit. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy, spontaneously hearing God's voice. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And so a lot of people don't hear God's voice. A lot of people walk around never hearing deep in their spirit, deep in their heart, that God loves them or that they're part of the family. And so, you know, it's sort of like we get really distracted by, you know, the fact that God is far away or there's something wrong with me or I'm not spiritual enough or all these reasons why some people hear God's voice and some people don't. But it seems pretty plain to me that you just need to learn how to receive the Holy Spirit because and trust him to come and fill you. And you may need to learn just how to stand in God's presence and let somebody lay hands on you during prayer time after our time together and just kind of drink in the Holy Spirit because he's someone that Jesus has given you, not just to believe in, but also to take in, to receive so that you can hear God's voice. You know, a few months ago, a lady came up to me, after one of our services, and I don't know, like, if, you know, you may or may not be aware that when we gather, God smiles on that. When we worship, God smiles on that. And so much of what you experience here or feel isn't just because we have great coffee and we're nice people and warm and welcoming. I mean, I think what you're experiencing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of what draws people. I've heard it said that if the Holy Spirit is doing something or in this place, you can't keep people away because it draws us. We want to experience, want to be in the presence of God. And this lady came up to me and literally she just had, you know, tears streaming down her face. And she said, "I'm 63 years old. I've been in every church in this town except one." And she said, "I have never, ever had anyone in church teach me about the Holy Spirit." She said, "I never knew. And I'm here, you know, this is my 6th week, and I've got my daughter, my granddaughter, and I feel something here. I feel something in my relationship with God that I've never, ever had before." And she said, "It's the Holy Spirit, isn't it? And he's what makes our relationship with God alive and meaningful and genuine and deep. And he's telling me things I've never heard before deep in my heart." And it's just incredible to watch just the reality, the lights go on, when she realized that what she was experiencing was the Holy Spirit and that putting the Holy Spirit back in our relationship with God changes everything drastically. See, Jesus totally depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes it possible for Jesus to do all the things that Jesus, to know what the Father was doing. Now, I think it's good for us to become more aware that God is always working. Like, our Father in heaven is always, always working. We have a couple on our staff named Sammy and Nadine Aiken, and some of you might know them. They're from Northern Ireland. They came to us 2 years ago to intern and work alongside of us, and now they've got a visa to be on our staff for another 3 years, and they're both full-time pastors here. And so Sammy and Dean, I'm gonna tell you the story of something that happened in their life just a few months ago. They were out and about one day, day off. They were just going to go have lunch at Olive Garden, and they sat down, and server came up to their table, and, they were chatting about different things, and they realized that the guy kept kind of coming back, and they started to talk a little bit more with him, and sometimes he'd come back to their table to, fill their water, but it was already full because he was just there, and he just kept coming back, and they couldn't quite figure out, but they started to engage in a conversation with him, and they started to ask him about his life, and he started to ask them about their life, and by the time that they left, the guy was so intrigued by Sammy and Nadine's life. And they had told him that they came from Ireland to work at the Vineyard Church, and that, God was doing these amazing things in their lives as they just reorientated their life around what God wanted for them and his purposes. And this guy was just, like, blown away that somebody would do that, like move from their home country. And he was really intrigued, and he felt really loved by them. He felt like they cared about him. And so he goes home and he starts reading the Vineyard website, and he emails and asks if he could meet with someone from the Vineyard Church, because he said, "I'm absolutely lost, and I have this big hole in my soul that I'm trying to figure out what's missing in my life." And so, we hook him up with Sammy to get together and talk, and he comes like a day later, because he wants his appointment now, and he comes a day later, and he asks Sammy, "Will you lead me to the Lord?" Like, Sammy's like going, "Man, evangelism's not supposed to be this easy," but this guy is like on my doorstep asking me to help him pray to receive Christ. And so then Clint just immediately, the guy's name is Clint, he immediately like starts going to Sammy's foundation class. And he goes online and he downloads, I don't know how many hours of equipping and training teachings we have on there, but it's probably a couple hundred hours of, and he listens to it all. And he is totally, like, just hungry like a sponge, just soaking up. I mean, this is not the slow path. This is, like, the fast track. And, he is discipling himself with these trainings and equippings that he's reading online. And he hears a couple stories about forgiveness that I taught in a class that's online. And all of a sudden, he gets the fear of God in him that if he doesn't forgive people in his life that have sinned against him, that this newfound love that he's experiencing, this incredible like outpouring of God coming into his life and transforming him in days, literally days, he gets the fear of God that he's gonna quit. Like, he can't keep growing and he can't keep having this if he has unforgiveness in his life. And so he jumps in his car and he drives, miles and miles to meet with his mom, who had abandoned them at a much younger age. Years ago, and he hadn't spoken to her since. Their relationship was very strained, and he was very hurt by this abandonment. And he walks right into her house, and he tells her his whole story about how he's standing at the table at Olive Garden, and these people come in, and then they lead him to Jesus, and that Jesus has come into his life, and he feels God loves him, and he feels God's forgiveness. And by the way, Mom, I need to forgive you, because God has forgiven me. I want to extend that to you, and I want our relationship to be reconciled. And they hug, and they cry, and the next week he brings his mom to church. I mean, she might be here today. and, I mean, it's just this amazing story about how Sammy and Dean are going through their, ordinary, routine daily life. And, you know, I want to say a shout out to Clint. He's serving in the Army right now at Fort McCoy and doing some training there. And I know you listen to the podcast while you're there, Clint, and I just want to say God bless you. Man, we're praying for you. But Sammy and Dean didn't set out to be on this special mission that day, or they didn't like take a class about how to evangelize your server at the local restaurant and then, you know, let's go out and on assignment and see if this works. I mean, they're just like going about their day, their everyday life. And you know, God's already out there. He's already in front of them. He's weaving. He's working. He's wanting something for Clint. Clint's wanting something. He doesn't even know what he's wanting. They're just like simply tuning in to what's happening around them and then kind of leaning into God's voice. And, you know, you hear a story like this and you realize and you understand, man, God the Father is always at work. He doesn't slack. He's always at work. He's always doing something. And 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." There's not a time. There's not a time when the Lord isn't at work. And so what if, like, when we think about doing something for God, we're just simply discovering what God's already doing? And, you know, whether it's right here in the streets of Duluth or somewhere else around the world, we have to realize that, you know, it's not up to us to try to create something to do for God. That he's, you know, it's up to us to discover what God's already doing. And, you know, Sammy and Nadine were not at Olive Garden trying to create this situation. And yet they realize that the Lord is opening this door for them, and their part was to be sensitive and, you know, think about what this guy standing there was, you know, doing, that he's more important than just being the guy that happens to bring us our food. And they decided to care about Clint. I mean, because they could have just, like, you know, been rude and not tipped him and been really engrossed in their own conversation, and but they weren't, and so then God just allows them to enter into what God's already doing in Clint. And, you know, he's way ahead of them that day. Even before they met him, God is way ahead of them in Clint's life. And so the key to being missional, it's not so much just trying to do something for God, you know, but it's just discovering what he's already doing. And then at any given moment, cooperating with what he's already doing. Jesus said, "On my own initiative, I can do nothing." He says, basically, apart from you, I can do nothing. And, you know, one of the things I've learned from Jesus is just, this is a prayer that I pray, like, every day. While we're worshiping, I'm saying that and praying that before any kind of ministry. And, you know, Jesus just explaining, I can't do anything positive. I can't do anything eternal. I can't do anything kingdom that's going to affect the life of people on my own. I don't care how dig you deep. And it kind of gives us this picture of the dependency of Jesus on God's guidance and his direction in his life. You know, he wasn't like a lone ranger, independent kind of do-gooder who's on some kind of crusade to save the world. You might look at some of the things that Jesus did and think, because I did this for years, you know, look at Jesus does different things, the incredible things he does and says in the Bible, and you think, gosh, well, of course, he can do that. He's Jesus. Like, he's the Son of God. But that would kind of infer that you know, he was independently working and that he wasn't dependent. And God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, which gave him power to do the Father's will. And Jesus went around doing all the good works and the healing of everyone who was oppressed because of his relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to see more miracles like Jesus did, the problem is not that you're not Jesus. That's not the problem. It's just, the fact is, you just need to learn how to be more dependent on the Holy Spirit. And you'll see the things that Jesus saw happen right before your eyes. Like, when you walk in a room, how often do you kind of turn your attention toward God and say, Holy Spirit, come, what are you doing in these people's lives? Like, what are you doing in my friend's life today? What are you doing in my coworker's life today? You know, I've found something out over the years. When people are grumpy or when kids are misbehaving, there's something going on in there that's you know, they're struggling with something. The bad behavior is just the presenting problem. But there's a root issue. And if you take the time to actually talk to and care about people, you find out that they're grumpy because they just had a really significant loss in their life. And they're hurting. Or they're angry because a spouse just left and they don't know what they're going to do. Or, you know, oftentimes our kids are acting out because there's something going on. There's a fear going on in their life. There's a bully at school or something's going on. And so praying and asking God for some discernment, what are you doing in this person's life? And how do I cooperate with what you're doing? And even the man at the pool of Bethesda, you know, even in that situation that we read about, Jesus, he didn't act on his own. You know, he said very specifically, I can do only what the Father's doing. I can't do any healing that the Father's not doing today. I can only do what I see the Father doing. And at the pool of Bethesda, there's loads of sick people laying around because there, it was said that when an angel came and stirred the waters, that you know, the waters would ripple, and then the first person that would make it to the pool and get in the water would be healed. And they'd seen evidence of this. So you can imagine how many sick people are gathered around, and diseased people would hope that somehow they're going to be the one to get in the water. And at the poolside, I mean, it was probably just like full of sick people. As somehow Jesus comes into this area around the pool, he knows exactly who to approach, what to say, who to heal, and he healed him. Not everybody got healed that day at the pool of Bethesda. And he knew, he followed God's leading, and he only did what he saw the Father doing. See, God is, he's already moving, he's already intervening in people's lives, and he's already showing people how much he cares about them and all of their daily needs. And so instead of, you know, manufacturing or trying to invent opportunities where we can express God's love to people, I think just begin to learn how to discover what he's already doing with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I think when you anticipate or participate with him, then you're also letting him spend you however he wants to spend you. So then you're letting him be in charge and be in control of your life. Have you ever thought about what your life might look like if you just started praying every day, God, I'm just changing your pocket. You can just spend me however you want to spend me. It's an interesting thing to pray because you're actually making yourself available in the same way that Jesus did. And this aspect of Jesus' teaching, that I can only do what I see the Father doing, this is one of the foundational teaching blocks of John Wimber, who was the founder of our Vineyard movement 30 years ago. John drilled this home on so many occasions. We can only do, even in church. You know, he used to say, what would happen if the Holy Spirit got his church back? Like, we can only do what we see the Father doing. And this is a really, this is a truth, it's a very strong conviction and a value for us personally and as leaders here at the Vineyard Church, both in our theology over the years and also in our practice and in our ministry and the way we do things. You know, often what happens to us as pastors and leaders is that people will come to us with expectations. On any given weekend, you know, I can walk in here and feel people put expectations on me, like what I should be doing as a pastor, or if they think I'm the pastor's wife, which I'm not, because, you know, he's the pastor's husband. And when people go, oh, you're the pastor's wife, I'm like, actually, he's the pastor's husband. But you can feel that expectation, or perhaps, you know, they might even express it, like, very dogmatically. Like, how come you didn't come to my Tupperware party? Or, you need to start, you know, this ministry. Or, you need to heal me. Or, you need to pray for me. Or, oh, during the ministry time, I really wanted you to pray for me, and then you went right by me, and you prayed for someone else next to me. And I just felt my heart go, oh. You know, and you know, it's expectations. And one of the things I always think about when someone starts to express that is I just sort of step back emotionally and I think, wonder what the Father's doing. Because, you know, rather than follow all those expectations that people have for us, you know, we just say, well, Father, what are you doing? Because I can only do what I see the Father doing. That's all I can do. And that's really how we should be deciding what to do in a day. And I kind of blame it on the Holy Spirit and say, really? I just went and did what the Holy Spirit told me to do. Sorry. You know, that's all I can do. And have you ever realized that, you know, like, think about this. How many needs, just in any given week, how many needs do you think you're faced with? Like, I tried to come up with a number, you know, like, okay, it's approximately, we need a soccer coach, we need this donation, we need, you know, the library books are due, we need volunteers at school, we need, you know, it's like, if you really add it all up, for me, it's like 240. You know, you can, if yours is lower, I'll trade with you. But there's a lot of things that we're faced with, a lot of needs. People are kind of screaming needs at us. And, you know, you start to say yes to things because you feel compelled to do things for people. And in fact, you know, you might even be capable and gifted, and you might be able to do what they're asking you to do quite well. And at the end of the day, or the end of the week, you still start to come up short because you don't have enough time or energy or resources to meet all of the needs that are placed before you. And I think some of the reason why so many of us are so tired and worn out is because we're running around doing a lot of things that the Father's not doing. And the truth is, if you're doing what you're doing because, you know, it's a nice idea, or because you're worried about what people think of you, or, you know, any reason that's not because that's what the Father's doing, you're pretty much left on your own to do it with your own strength and your own merit, and there really isn't much Jesus in it at all. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of sad. And the things that you're kind of busy doing that the Father's not doing, they usually don't bear much fruit either, which, you know, people you're trying to bless or help or fix, they're just not feeling blessed or helped or ministered to at all. And, you know, it's kind of like they're like, oh, yeah, thanks. And, you know, rather than have those things you're doing land where you want them to land and accomplish what you meant for it to, you know, they kind of walk around feeling like they got a pat on the back or an encouragement or something. But when we spend time with the Father and finding out what he's doing already out of relationship with him, and then we say, God, spend me however you want to spend me, I'm just changing your pocket, then we're only doing what the Father's doing. And we hit the target every time, and it bears really, really good fruit. It bears the fruit of the kingdom in the lives of the people that we're serving. And here's the thing about expectations. People with expectations, like, you could do everything that they expect you to do. Check, 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 go down the list. They're probably going to bring you a new list when you get that one done. They're just going to change their expectations, because I've tried it. You try meeting people's expectations, and they just serve you a whole bunch of new ones. Oh, that worked really well for me. Here's some more expectations. And you're tired. You're tired because that's not God's heart for you. You're not spending your time doing what the Father's doing. And I think today, a lot of you have come under the expectations of other people in your life. You know, parents are notorious for this. We have lots of expectations of our kids. And it's hard, but learning to press in and hear what God's heart is for our kids and expressing that to them looks a lot different than what's important to the world today, what success is to the world today. And so it's hard. Sometimes you feel like you're, you know, all alone out there if you do this and really nurture your kids in the things that God has for them. And some of us are under expectations from spouses or siblings. And brothers and sisters and mothers and, you know, can be the worst. You need to do this. You don't have the right job. You don't raise your kids right. You don't, you know. And you're just worn down, you're just tired because you just can't please him. And I think God wants, you know, us to pray for you today and just break off some of those false expectations that are not from the Father heart of God for you when we pray. So only God gets to be in charge. Only God gets to be in charge or control of how we spend our time and our energy and our resources. And I've been thinking about how definitive this really is. Because in this passage, the word only is pretty exclusive, and it just like pops out at me. I only do what I see the Father doing. It's not like all the other stuff that all the other people would like to control and manipulate me to do plus what the Father's doing. It's only, which means you're gonna have to tell somebody no. You're gonna have to disappoint somebody, but don't let who you disappoint be God. You have to set some boundaries when the word only pops out at you. Only what the Father does. Wow, that takes my 240 down to about 10 a day. And then I believe he's going to give you the time and the energy and the resources to do those things. You know, God's the one who came up with the 24 hours in a day deal. And he did that because he believed it was enough time for us to sleep and do all the things that he wanted us to do. He didn't make a mistake. We're the ones messing a 24-hour day thing up. You know, because it's hard for us to come in line with only doing what we see the Father doing. And Jesus could see what the Father was doing because the Holy Spirit was revealing it to him. And it's cool to know that we can relate to and be guided by that same Holy Spirit that really gave Jesus power and guided him. And I think it's important to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't play favorites. It's not like, you know, you have to be a pastor or a missionary, evangelist, or spiritual to find out what the Father's doing. There's four things that I think we need to participate with what God is already up to. And the first thing is just desire. You know, do you have a desire in your heart to see God work through your life? And the Lord's looking for us. He's looking for people that are willing to serve in order to see his kingdom come crashing in to the natural, just like that day that Clint came into his kingdom. You know, kingdom of God came crashing right into the natural realm, right there in front of our eyes. And, you know, even if you're not too crazy about this idea that I'm talking about, or you don't really, you know, it's hard to care about or desire to participate with God, he still has a solution for that. And that is just start there. Start by asking him to fix your wanter. Like some of you have maybe heard me talk about this before, but sometimes we have a broken wanter. Like we don't even really want what God wants. And we know it, but our head and our heart are a little bit detached. And so you can just ask him to start there. You can just say, God, help me want what you want. Before you know, you start thinking differently and you're like, huh, well, that's not me. Oh yeah, that must be my wanter is actually getting healed. Philippians 2:13 says, for it's God who is at work in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So our desire determines to some degree how much that we're going to be involved in what God's up to. Another thing that we need to participate with what God is already up to is expectancy and risk. And this is pretty crazy, but the way that you put some wheels on your faith is simply by starting to expect. Be more expectant. And, you know, how expectant are you that God's going to, like, show up and that he's ready to work through you and through your life and your ordinary path, where you're at, what you're doing? And, you know, the more that we live to kind of learn, we learn to live in that constant state of expectancy. Like, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing in that person's life? And excitement starts to come into our relationship with God because we're anticipating his next move. And, you know, we start to be able to see, oh, he is working there. I can hear, you hear him and you see him working around you with so much more anticipation. And so again, you don't expect much, you start there. God, feel my wanter and help me to want more, help me to expect more in my life from you. The third thing is just staying filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's something, I find it incredibly freeing to believe in my heart that I don't want to live a single day without being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's too hard, man. It's just too hard. Because we don't have what we need to make it through the day and reflect who God is. Paul encouraged the church in Ephesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. And I think some of us have experienced, you know, maybe a time when we've been filled with the Spirit, or maybe some of you have had the spiritual experience and you didn't even know that it was the Holy Spirit filling you. But the bad news is we're kind of leaky. We're like leaky vessels. And, you know, not only are we leaky, but every single time that we do something fantastic for God, you know, you're being poured out. And the reason why you even thought of doing something fantastic was because of the Holy Spirit was there giving you that direction. But then you were poured out, and so you need filled up and poured out and filled up. And so before you hit your feet, hit the floor in the morning, you know, you can start right there. You can have a heart that says, man, God, I don't want to live a day without you. I want to live like committed to you, and I want to see what you're doing, and I don't want to be self-focused, and I know you're already out there working. I know you're involved in people's lives, and so fill me with your Spirit. I mean, it's not that hard. Just go look in the mirror. You know, your hair is like really bad, morning hair, and you got crust around your eyes. You just look in the mirror and you go, holy cow, God, I really, really, really need you to fill me up right now. Holy Spirit, come. I mean, you know, try it. It's just, you can remind yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror how much you need Jesus. That's what I do. And then the fourth thing is just this secret life, you know, this secret life of intimacy. You know, throughout the book of Luke, we see over and over again, Jesus depended upon the Father. And, you know, oftentimes Jesus went out early in the morning, it says, and he disappeared into the wilderness to spend time with God. And Luke 4:42 says, when day came, Jesus left, and he went to a secluded place. See, Jesus knew. He knew that to know God and to know what God was doing and to be able to give people the things that they were going to expect or that they needed, that he had to spend time with God first. And, you know, even when more and more crowds started to follow Jesus, he never quit doing this. In Luke 5:15, it says, the news about him was spreading even farther, and large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. See, he believed that there would be this overflow of ministry that would happen from the intimacy that he had with his Father. And that out of that place of being with the Father, that he would receive what he needed to give away so that he could be poured out. And so the things that we do for God and other people's lives need to come out of that place, an overflow of intimacy with our time with the Father. And this is kind of hard to say, but I think this is a very reason why, like, so many people aren't experiencing a lot of purpose or fulfillment. But we're so tired. We're so tired and we're so burnt out. And, you know, at some point you might just want to get sick of that feeling, sick of being sick and tired. And, you know, try this. Try a more time away from all the demands, coming into God's presence and being filled with his Spirit and finding out, what am I really supposed to be doing? You know, not trying to obey God without intimacy first. Because if you get instructions from him out of that place of sitting at his feet, then you know that you know that you know that what you're doing is what the Father's doing. And it comes out of that place of overflow. It's pretty awesome sounding, isn't it? And overworking ourselves and running on empty and being exhausted or just doing things out of duty, you know, that is not what God wants. We're not making him happy with that. And he wants us to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom, but out of our love relationship with him, which is the most stinking cool thing about having a relationship with God. So here's the deal. There's no formula to knowing God, to knowing what the Father's doing. It's based out of your relationship with him. And knowing what he's doing is not rocket science. It's not a procedure. There's, you know, you just hang out with him. You just hang out with him, and pretty soon you receive the Spirit, and you know supernaturally through the Holy Spirit more about what he's doing. And then you get to participate with him, and you see things like Clint coming into the kingdom of God, who was absolutely lost without him. The Father also really loves showing us what he's doing. He totally loves this. He shows up and he shows us what he's doing as we delve into that deeper relationship with him. You know, pretty soon you discover that it's not like we're taking God somewhere. Like, he's taking us to where he's already moving and working. And he's not trying to hide his plans from us. He's not trying to be mysterious. I mean, a lot of people think like, oh, God, you know, it's like really mysterious, hard to reach. And, you know, I just don't believe that about God. I think that whether you're like doing something really intense, like maybe planting a church in a Muslim country or in the Middle East or in Asia or Buddhist areas, or, you know, or whether you're talking about like the Smiths or the Jones next door, right in Duluth, I think God's working. He's already working. He's already out in front of you. He's already up to something. And it's a good thing for me to humble myself and even remind myself that, you know, who's the genius around here anyway? Like, God is absolutely brilliant. He's a genius. And so he already knows. He already knows what you need to know to be effective for him. And the mission that we're on is just simply extending God's heart, God's heart to all people, because that's what he's doing. He's restoring people into relationship with the Father. And he's already doing what a person needs. And so we just need to kind of tune in and ask him. And I think that we should expect God to be working in our lives and others on a regular basis. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher or a carpenter or a doctor or a lawyer or a housewife or a salesman, you have to have an expectancy that God is doing something. He's working around you where he's put you. And you know, not it's not that he's just going to show up for Billy Graham in some baseball stadium because, you know, he's an amazing, famous preacher. Michael and I, you know, just to get personal, Michael and I detest the thought of this church looking like a Christian country club. That's all about, you know, some kind of exclusivity, that we're just sitting around here trying to figure out how to make members happy. Or, if you prefer a different mental picture, sometimes our staff, when we talk about this, we say we don't want to look like a bunch of puppies in a box licking each other. And we all laugh because we can picture that. You know, God has like freely given us as a community a lot. And we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to mobilize this community right here. That's you, the community of believers, to have an impact on our community and be serving them. You know, churches can be so consuming. It can fight over zoning and ask the city for this or that. And it's like, we want to serve the city. We want to be the most outward-focused church in Duluth, the most welcoming bunch of people that you can find that are followers of Jesus. So look and see, what's God doing? What's he doing around you this week? And go out there and be the church of Jesus Christ. Why don't you guys stand up with me? Father, thank you for your presence today with us. And God, I know that you get really jazzed when you think about us participating with you, being your ambassadors and drawing into that place of intimacy. And God, we just admit we're pretty weak at this. But man, life can be so tiring and so unfulfilling, and we know that's not your heart for us. Would you make us into people that only do what we see the Father doing, like Jesus? Holy Spirit, just come right now. Some of us need such a big drink of you. Some of us have never learned how to receive you. We don't even know who you are. We don't know how to cultivate a friendship with you. But man, we are desperate for you, Holy Spirit. Would you help us not be afraid? Would you help us become completely dependent on you? Would you help us relate to God? Would you help us hear God's voice? Many of you are here and you've never felt like a son or a daughter, and you've never felt like you've heard God say to you how deeply he loves you down deep in your heart. You just need to drink the Holy Spirit in. You just need more of the Holy Spirit so you can hear that deep in your heart. And ask our ministry team to come. These folks are just trained to pray for you and not to mess you up, but just to bless what God's doing in your life. And man, don't ever walk in and out of church the same. This is time for us just to come before the Lord and just to say, okay, I'm going to respond to you, God. I want to be that kind of person that responds to you. There's a couple of prayers that I think that you may want to begin praying every day. And I would ask you to start here and say that out loud to one of these prayer team people and ask them just to pray for and bless this in this commitment as you stand before the Lord. One of them is just that, Lord, I'm just changing your pocket. Just spend me however you want to spend me, God. Some of you, you know, have never said that to God, and you need to say that to him today. And we want to pray for you in that. And so I'm going to ask you to come, even now, just come. And just stand here in God's presence, and I'm going to pray over us and ask him to come. Another one is just, you know, that, Lord, apart from you, I can do nothing. And you haven't been that dependent, but you want to be. And so today, just start saying that prayer. Today, God, apart from you, I can do nothing. You want to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. I want you to come and just let us pray for you this morning. Why don't you guys just start coming now? Let's just come forward. There's nothing to be ashamed about. It's just between you and God. Or if you never really felt like a son or a daughter, and you just want to receive a drink from the Holy Spirit. You want to hear deep down in your heart. You want to be able to say, Father, dear Father, to God. And then there's some of you have been walking around with those expectations from other people. Maybe a mom, maybe a dad, maybe a boss, maybe, you know, a friend or sibling or a spouse. And you know, like, it just oppresses you. And you know that it is not God, or it's not what the Father's doing, and it's not something the Father's asking from you, but you've been trying really hard to do it. And we just want to pray for you and just break that expectation off and just say, lean into the Father's voice and only do what you see the Father doing. And you can do it. We're going to pray for courage, for you to be brave, to do what the Father's doing. And not just come under other people's expectations of you. God, help us to receive from you today. I'm going to have our team just sing and play a worship song. And anytime while they're playing, just feel free to come up. We'd love to just pray for you before you leave today.